does that saying go? To err is human, to fish fry divine. Yeah, something like that. Hey, everybody, welcome to this here electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Give me an I, give me an O, give me a T. What does that spell? About 30 billion. No, yes, we are talking about the I and the O and the T this week, but not just any IoT. Oh, no. We're talking about the IOST and the IOSB. So let's start things off with that IOST business, or the Internet of Stretchy Things. Now, around this time last year, we reported on a new kind of sensor developed at Stanford that could measure the amount of stress a person was under by monitoring the levels of cortisol in that person's sweat. So early results from this program were very promising. That device could deliver results in seconds, where other solutions would need blood samples and hours of analysis. And now, that same team from Stanford has created a new, similar sensor that can track the pulse and rate of respiration by detecting the expansion and contraction of our skin. And even further, if you place this new stretchy sensor on elbows or knees, they can also track the movements of those body parts by measuring the tightening or relaxation of the skin every time the corresponding muscle is flexed. Oh, and this technology already has a super cool name, BodyNet, right? So, what are we really talking about here? We're talking about a chip-free, battery-free sensor tag that is stretchy and can be worn on your skin and is wirelessly linked to a flexible readout circuit that can be attached to your clothing. Cool, right? Okay, so this is how it works. Screen printed onto that sensor, which is a flexible, non-allergenic elastomer, are metallic ink sensing electronics and a flexible RFID antenna. And a separate RFID reader collects that data from those body net sensors. But it's in that RFID part that some really cool stuff is going on. This team of research scientists, headed up by chemical engineering professor Zenin Bao, used what they call an unconventional radio frequency identification technology to actually detune their wireless sensors to increase the tolerance of strain-induced changes in electronic properties. And get this, the RFID is also used to power up the sensors on a temporary basis using its own radio signal. And maybe you're thinking like I am, wow, this team at Stanford is really onto something. But folks, this story is only a tiny bit of the super cool stuff Bao and her team at Stanford are working on. They have also worked on an implantable blood flow sensor that dissolves when no longer needed, a biodegradable semiconductor, and even touch-sensitive robot skin. Super cool, to say the least. So, if you want even more information about the BodyNet system or any of the other cool projects that Zenin's team at Stanford is working on, I've included a host of links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on EEJournal.com. And now it's time for the main event. Let's get ready to IOSB. Yes, the Internet of Smart Buildings. Please welcome Mark Milligan to Fish Fry, and he's bringing a whole lot of sensors with him. Let's go. Hi, Mark. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. It's great to be back on the Fish Fry, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining me again. Okay, so first off, you have a new business card since the last time you were on Fish Fry. So tell me what Enlighted is all about.
Yeah, so Enlighted is a technology company here in Silicon Valley. We're focused on the Internet of Things for buildings. The company was founded in 2009 and was acquired in 2018 by Siemens. We're a separate legal entity as part of the Siemens Smart Infrastructure.
Cool. Okay, so Mark, let's start things off with a rather large question. Now, there has been a flood of IoT devices brought to the market in just the last couple years, and there will be a whole lot more coming along shortly. But in general, what kind of IoT devices do you think will survive the test of time? And which ones do you think will really make an impact?
Yeah, well, I think there's two separate questions there, really. You know, the Internet of Things is touching all our lives, both at home and increasingly professionally. But in Enlighted, we believe that many products are going to be part of the Internet of Things. So there'll be a lot of winners in that sense. But really, what a lot of those are features. You know, I've got a smart light at home and a smart irrigation system to water the plants, and I can program those and interface those things through my phone. And that's great. But at the end of the day, that light is still a light. And, you know, it's just a feature capability that's being added to these products. But there's a class of capabilities here that Internet of Things can bring that we think it really is truly revolutionary. I was struck by an article a couple of years ago in The Economist. It was a cover story. It said the world's most valuable resource. And what was that valuable resource last century? It was oil. And what is it this century? This century, the most valuable resource is data. We see new huge companies have been created, new industries have been created around collecting data and getting insights that you've never had before because of the ability to collect this new data. And we think there's going to be a few Internet of Things applications that are going to be like that, that are going to really, you know, create the next Googles. And that's the ability to collect data, process that data, and get insights into what's happening in the real world that's never before been possible. And that's what we're doing at Enlighted. We've looked at the Internet of Things for buildings. We see buildings being an opportunity to collect new types of data streams and make it more productive for the workers and the occupants in the building to do their jobs better and use their resources better within the building.
Okay, Mark, so let's talk more about your IoT system. So tell me more about this Enlighted platform.
Yeah, so it starts with the sensor, and really it's a sensor platform. It's got an ARM processor, it's got memory, it's got wireless technology to capture the data and pass that into the cloud. It does multiple sensing capabilities. It does temperature, it's monitoring motion, it's measuring light levels, and it's got a Bluetooth radio in there as well. And it fits in about the size of the tip of my thumb. Now, as part of the breakthrough that Enlighted has is the sensor, but it also required some other big ideas. And that is, all right, if we want to put sensors everywhere in a building, say it's a million square foot warehouse or factory, how do you put a sensor in everywhere in that building and do it cost effectively? So the other breakthrough was, let's put that sensor in the light fixtures. You know, next time you're in a building, look up and you'll see, wow, there's in an office building, there's a light every 10 feet. And what that does then is it kind of creates a symbiotic relationship between the sensor and the light. The sensor is installed in the light fixture. And the light is giving the sensor two things. It's giving great position for data collection. You know, as I said, lights are everywhere in the building. And it's in the ceiling, so it's kind of an unobstructive view of what's happening below it. And the second thing, the light is giving the sensor electricity, power. So you're not having to run specialized wires or try to rely on battery-powered IoT sensors that are going to fail and be reliability issues over time. But I said it's symbiotic. What the sensor in turn gives the light is intelligence. Now we're making each individual light fixture in the building smart, and that's going to allow us to reduce the energy usage of the building. And that energy usage can actually be used to pay for the installation of that sensor system. So essentially it pays for itself just by the energy. Let me give you a couple simple examples, like, hey, if there's nobody in the room, you know, reduce the light or turn the light off. But also a little bit interesting things like, if it's the light fixture is near a window and it's a bright sunny day, we can measure that light coming in and reduce the energy output of the light fixture and save energy. And there's a bunch of techniques like that that we're able to apply because we're making each individual light smart. So that's the energy savings then helps pay for the sensory system to be installed. But that's great. And then this, now it's about the data that's being collected and trying to take advantage of that data. Let me give you a couple examples. By monitoring the motion, you can kind of think of it as high definition occupancy information because there's so many sensors in the building. We have a very granular view of what is occupied, how and how the space is being used. And now you're collecting that data 365 days a year, multiple times a second, huge amounts of data across the whole building. And you can slice and dice that in many different ways to get some interesting insights. One simple example is conference rooms. Oftentimes in an office, you know, there's never enough conference rooms. Well, maybe some of these large conference rooms are only being utilized by 20% because people are having one-on-ones in there, and it could be a big boardroom. Or maybe we could slice that thing up into three and be able to get a better utilization of those conference rooms. But then you think of that at a portfolio level. We're in a lot of the large technology companies in Silicon Valley and some banks on Wall Street, and those are pretty high real estate cost centers. Now, the buildings there, they have multiple buildings, you know, within their portfolio. We're able to collect that data and then understand which parts of the building are being used effectively, which ones are not. You know, can we consolidate buildings? Do we really need to build a new building out? And these are millions of dollars potential savings by looking at actually how the real estate portfolio is used. Another example that I think is also really exciting is by putting a sensory system across the entire building, we can provide what's called real-time location services inside the building. Think about like a hospital and the thousands of mobile medical pieces of equipment that are in there and a caregiver may need to get that piece of medical equipment to take care of you or your family member. Previously, they've had to literally walk around the building looking for the equipment, or if a certain type of equipment needed maintenance, they'd have to go find them all in this large building and they're moving around. Well, now with a sensory system across the entire building, the building can kind of act like an assistant and tell the person using an app on their phone where something is. Where's that wheelchair? Where's that IV pump? And we do that by placing a small Bluetooth-equipped tag on that wheelchair, for example, and the sensory system picks up the location of that and provides that in real time to an app on the caregiver's phone. So these kinds of location systems are enabled by the fact that the sensory system is able to be installed cost-effectively based on the energy, but then be able to provide this kind of data that can really help people use the resources in the building more efficiently.
Super cool. Okay, Mark, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I'm trying out a new question here. You're going to be my guinea pig this week, so let's go. What is your go-to snack for the movie theater?
Oh, I got to say it's popcorn.
Okay, follow-up question. Butter, no butter?
Butter, definitely. I'm a Midwest guy originally.
Yeah, I'm a no-butter person. I don't really like that stuff.
We'll get our own popcorn next time we go to the movies.
Excellent. Okay. Well, Mark, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you. It's been great to be here.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And if you want to check out my personal Twitter account, don't forget it is AmeliaD1978. And if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can check out the Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, I love that stuff, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of August 30th, 2019, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.